Dear family, Dukshin, children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and all friends and families that are here gathered with us in this very special moment when we may bring together a king's daughter to the grave. Mrs. Jeanette Henrietta Dukshin was given to live 92 years. And has carved a very great place in the hearts of you as family. Having had the privilege to get to know her in these last 6.5 years or so, I can truly say she was a mother. Not just a mother. In the biblical language, she was a mother in Israel. And spiritual mother. I spent many hours with her over these years, and they were always pleasant, and they were always spiritual. Mom didn't care to talk about the birds and the sky. We talked about what she read and was reading. And what she thought, and what she was burdened with. And I can attest from this place, children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, that you had a very praying grandmother. She was concerned about many of you. She was burdened with some of the directions that she knew that you walked and lived with. I will not hide that. That was part of her grief. But it also made her more intensely prayerful. Because she knew there's nothing I can do. She wasn't a big talker, was she? I mean, not about what she really wanted to talk about. And I encouraged her so many times that way. And says, Jeanette, you're lingering here for a purpose. Yes, I know that in some way your life is limited because your physical condition, but God has a purpose. You're clear in your mind and you have a mouth to speak. Yeah, but I don't dare to speak, to share, to tell them. And I don't know if that ever changed. She hasn't told me. But I do know that in these last 6 months, she spoke. Have you heard it? She spoke about what she didn't say. Or what she didn't struggle with. She spoke with the peace that enveloped this woman as I, in my pastoral ministry of nearly 25 years, have never seen. It wasn't always that way when I came here. It was a struggler and a wrestler, like so many of the Lord's people are. But she was a blessed woman. There's all kinds of ways, of course, you can fill in the word blessed. But I'm not talking about in a worldly way, that she was well off and reached a nice old age and good health. And those things are not to be despised, but they fall totally short of the definition of the biblical blessedness. And the word blessed that I'm thinking of will be shortly meditated on with you. It's from verse 15 in Psalm 89. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Dear family Dirksen, God has given you a rare jewel in Mother Dirksen. Oh yeah, I know. She was a sinner. You could recall all kinds of ways in which she failed, but that's not what we are to speak about. The grace of God that has been witnessed in this woman speaks to the praise and the glory and adoration of God. And if this one great wish this woman had, that I would not say a word about her, so I will make it very few. You've witnessed in these last months something that is rarely seen. The peace that was not drug-induced. That was not because of physical sleepiness or so in a decaying body. I think you've seen what Jesus says in John 14:27. My peace I give unto you. That's what no man can give unto any other man, what Jesus gave to your mother. My peace I gave unto you. And when he gives peace, if you've seen that, it frees the heart from fear to die and from the fear to meet with God. It frees the heart from this quietness. There is a calm in the conscience that you cannot describe. You've seen it. You've heard it. In these 6 months since February, God did not allow Satan to vex her and to try her and to torment her anymore. I've never had a visit any week of those weeks in these months where I had to sit there as a pastor trying to redirect her thoughts back to what God had told her. She was the one that directed me. Jesus called it my peace. He earned it with hard work in the obedience of life and death. My peace, he also applied it as he enabled her by faith to rest on the pillow of Jesus doing and dying. And only a few days before she died, as you were sitting as a group of you at the dinner table, talking quietly among each other, you heard her voice. And as you drew near to her bed, you heard her say it. Quietly, but convictingly. I am free. I am free. Our beloved family. And therefore, though grief fills our heart this day, there's also a sense of thankfulness. She is free. She sang a lot about that from Psalm 204. And let us begin our service with that song together. That is one of her psalms she liked very much. 204. All four of the verses, O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart. Though life seems vain, and she's known that too, burdened with anxious care, she also groped in her dark despair, but in thy house of prayer all was made plain. 204. Let's sing all three verses. Let us listen to the voice of God in the scripture reading this morning from Psalm 89. And I'll read with you the first 18 verses. It's a mashal, it's a teaching psalm of Ethan the Ezrahite. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. And with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, that thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord, and who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord, like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea, and the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine. The earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people, and know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the God, the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. So far then the scriptures reading. Let's now unite our hearts in prayer. Eternal and faithful and mighty God, to whom the heavens and the earth belong, to whom also life and loved ones belong. Thou hast brought us here together, Lord, in a service we have not determined. But thou hast brought us together to bring to the grave the remains of a mother who has in her life left deep tracks upon the hearts and the lives of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and also in all those who knew her. And those, Lord, were tracks she was given by grace. For it is indeed only thy grace that we are to honor and to magnify, also in and seen in this sinner's life. O gracious Lord, thou hast delivered a sinner from all that clouded her heart and life. Thou hast spoken to us all through her life. And thou art to receive therefore all the honor and the praise also for the beautiful exit from this valley of sin and sorrow as thy crowning gift of grace in her life's journey. And oh, we may be comforted, Lord, to know that thou hast taken her soul into thy everlasting presence, we as a family and as friends feel sad and empty as we experience and will experience the loss of her presence. But we pray that thou wilt turn our tears and grief to spiritual profit. For death is also a solemn calling, a reminding warning for us all to remember that we have here no abiding city. That all of us, Lord, on our journey, shorter or longer yet, to the exit of this life. And therefore we plead with thee, O Almighty, that thou wilt bring in solemn awe upon us all, to bring home to us the reality that we are on a dying planet as a dying people. Impress upon us, Lord, that this short stay upon this planet is not just given to be enjoyed, but also given in a solemn preparation for that moment that thou wilt call us to give an account of what we have done. All the gifts of life, with all the mercies and grace. And gracious Lord, therefore we pray, with Moses in another place of the Scriptures, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Teach us the true wisdom. The beginning of that is the fear of God, the awe and the esteem of thee and of thy revealed will. O God, show us the utter folly of a life spent on enjoying ourselves and pursuing our dreams of vanity, living apart from thee. Show us the beauty of a life spent in serving thee, in learning to know thee as the Almighty and the all-sufficient God. Show us also this morning, if we have never seen, why we need the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Show us, Lord, that in him there is free and full salvation. Show us, Lord, if our hearts may be distressed and troubled on account of what we are before thee, that we may also be led to know that peace that thou gave Grandma Dirksen so sweetly to experience. Almighty, open our minds so close and so blind for thee and so enamored with ourselves and with all what we have. O God, thou knowest what we live for. Thou knowest who we serve. We beg thee therefore this morning that thou bring us all at thy feet as an humbled and broken and pleading sinner seeking that portion which by grace became the portion of Grandma Dirksen. And how sweet not only that was in this life, but how much more exceeding sweet it will be when we must part from this life into the eternal. And so as we gather here in a few moments of reflection on thy word, open our minds for thy scripture, we pray. In Jesus' name alone. Amen. Let us take a few moments, friends, to draw our thoughts together around the portion of scripture that I read to you from Psalm 89. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name they shall rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. The word begins with blessed. That's a word hardly to be translated in our English language, what it is in the Hebrew. It's blissful? No. Far beyond. Blessed. Happy? No. Far beyond. We don't really have a word to describe it. Enriched and rich and blessed and graced and renewed and everything in those words together, we come a little close to what that word blessed means. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound, this poet says. And we have to, of course, first look for a moment at the culture in which this psalm was written. And 3,000 years ago, when this poet wrote it, he is living in Israel. And that's a different culture than we are having today. And in that culture, children, the people of Israel, they had some trumpets. They didn't have text messages and telephones and all the other media and communication. They used trumpets to communicate, just like we use a siren when there's a tornado on the way. Trumpets. You can read about it in Numbers 10, how these trumpets were used. Some of the trumpets were joyful sound. Some of the trumpets were alarming. When the enemy came, there's danger, blow a trumpet. One big blast, and everybody was alerted, there is something dangerous. But there are also occasions throughout the year that the trumpet was used to play a beautiful sound and a joyful message. For example, every 50th year, there was in Israel what you call the Year of Jubilee. It's a very special ordinance that God had legislated. On that day, year, everyone that had made debts in the 50 years before and lost their life or their liberty and their possessions, that on the 50th year, and that trumpet would blow, and all those people that had struggled, no, I would be free and all my possessions would be restored and I have a new beginning. Joyful sound. The Bible still blows these two trumpets. Scripture blows a trumpet of God's law. And there's a trumpet of God's gospel. The trumpet of God's law is no more a joyful sound to us. It's confronting. It's confronting. It tells us where we ought to be and what we ought to be and how we ought to live and how we are to exist. And my friends, we come far short of that. What does the trumpet of the law proclaim? that you are to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your time, with all your resources, with all and every ounce of your devotion, with all and every fiber of your very being. You are to love God above all. Do you? I don't. Mrs. Dirksen didn't either. And you and I don't. We're in trouble. We are in dire trouble if we do not love God with all our heart and all our mind. You say, well, how far does it have to go? Look at Jesus. You'll see how far love to God has to go. There's no one who loved God more and all perfectly as the Lord Jesus Christ did. And that's how far you and I are to love Him. How far did He go? Look at the cross. See Him hanging there as He gave Himself. That was love to God to the extreme. Do you love God like that? Are you willing to give up your life, your joys, your pleasures, your friends, your goods, your comfort, you all, if God would ask for that? See, that's the trumpet of the law. It troubles me. Troubles you? Do you live up to that? What's the other part of the law? I am to love my neighbor as myself. Not just grandma. Not just mom and dad. Not just brother and sister. Oh no. Also that annoying enemy. Also that person that makes my life horrible. Am I to love him? That's what Jesus did. Didn't he? And as he is parting from the world, he gives his disciples one more example. And he is going to wash their feet. Every one of them. All 12. There's one pair of feet there. Ever Judas Iscariot. He knew that in half an hour they would walk down Jerusalem to betray him. And how gently did he take those feet and he washed them. He loved his neighbor to the utmost. Do you? Look in this mirror of the law for a moment. Do you really love every neighbor like that? Are you willing to lay down your life? Are you praying? Are you thinking of your enemies? And how that we can show our love to Him in the same measure and to the same degree as Jesus did? Because that's what Jesus says at the end of His life. I give you a new commandment. It's not really that new because it was already in the Old Testament. Love your neighbor as yourself. But it's new in this way. I want you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's new. There's no one who's ever loved his neighbor like Jesus did, even his enemy. Do you hear the trumpet of the law, my friend? Anything short of such love will be dreadful. Anything short of such love will be death. Why is that? Because God's throne is a throne of justice. Listen to the word. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. We all were as mankind created to be his servants forever. In loving him. In loving all our neighbors. And managing his world for his sake. Anything short of death means death. That is the sound of the law. Dreadful indeed. We all have come short from the womb of this glory of God, and I'm asking you this morning, have you ever really given heed to this trumpet of the law? Has God ever penetrated through all those layers of our indifference or of our ignorance or of our hostility and let us feel into the depth of our soul what He really requires of us and still requires of us, even though today we are not in the condition that we once were? God's throne is a throne of justice and judgment. And He will not let that requirement drop, as you would not like any judge in this area to drop the letter of the law to excuse or to let go those who have committed crimes. So God will not. Came a time in the life of the woman that we bring to the grave this morning, that she began to hear the trumpet of the law in her heart. Troubled her. Troubled her deeply. She told me about it. Change in her heart came and she began to feel how short she came of the glory of living for God and loving as she should. It humbled her. And she became aware of her guilt before God, broken down as a poor and a needy soul with only one cry left: God, be merciful to me, a sinner. She lingered at that spot for a long time, struggling to hear, or rather to know, the joyful sound. What is the joyful sound then? That's the gospel. That's another sound in the message of the scriptures. In the Bible, God blows the trumpet of the gospel, my friend, and it's the most joyful sound that's ever been heard on the earth. That's a joyful sound of the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is literally meaning good news. It's an announcement. It is a message of news that came from heaven's court. There is news from heaven about what? That God so loved the world, this sick, rebellious, vile, and violent world of mankind, who everywhere sought to dethrone and dishonor Him, that He gave His only begotten Son. The gospel is the message that this omnipotent great God came in His Son in the human body to dwell among us, to live among us, to obey among us, and to die among us, suffering and dying for sinners, because He never sinned Himself. And that is the glad tidings and the good news that God brings us in this joyful message of the gospel, my friends. Here we are facing the reality of our own sin and our own brokenness and our own guilt. And in the midst of that message, God brings this announcement of hope. There is forgiveness with me, He says. Unbelievable. Not just forgiveness with me. There is reconciliation with me in the blood and in the life and in the death of my own Son. So God was willing to restore the relationship that He was willing to break the relationship with His own child. Astounding, isn't it? It is astounding. This is a message that man had never dreamed up, and no mind could conceive, and no heart could ever figure this out. How could God, so great and so majestic, look on this puny world and look at these puny creatures that we are who have dared to rebel against Him? It is so right what this man says in this scripture, "Who, O God, under the heavens can be compared unto Thee? Who among the mighty can be likened unto the Lord?" Friends, is there anyone so great as the God of the gospel of Jesus Christ? There isn't. That is the gospel of the joyful sound, that Jesus came into this world to serve, not to be served. To give His life as a ransom for many. And now that gospel announcement is followed with a gospel invitation. As the Savior walked on the earth and preached the word and announced to this world who He really is and what He really came to do, He looked upon all those people standing before Him and He says, "Come unto Me. You distressed and burdened hearts who've heard this dreadful sound of the law in your ear and your heart, come unto Me. All you that labor to try to restore and try to fix and to try to take away what you've done wrong and to try to mend what you have broken, oh, come unto Me. And I will give you rest. I will give you the rest of My work, of My obedience, of My substitution, of My life and death to cover your life and to take away your death. Look unto Me, all you who have been poisoned with the bite of Satan and are feeling this poison of this sin in your heart, come and look unto Me. Grandma not only heard this joyful sound. Now what our text says, blessed are those who know the joyful sound. She heard it. But it was a struggle to know that the joyful sound was for her. Why did she struggle so long? You all that knew her struggled for years to know that this joyful sound sounded for her. Maybe some of you say, "I can't figure out Grandma. Such a wonderful lady. Such a beautiful woman. What did she worry and struggle about?" There are some of you that will understand her struggle. Because Grandma knew more about Grandma than you did. Grandma knew Grandma as she was within. And how often she didn't say that, "Oh, unworthy me, what am I to think that that would be for me?" Grandma struggled to believe this joyful sound. No, she wasn't easily coaxed into believing. But we have all witnessed how the Lord gave her peace, great peace. She knew the joyful sound that she'd heard was for her. We've heard it so many times. "I am ready." Sometimes I came to her and says, "Jeanette, how is it? Why is she waiting so long to come to take me? I said, I don't know. God knows the time. And then these last weeks, I am free. My dear friends, he knew the joyful sound. And now look, blessed are those that know the joyful sound, for they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance, and in thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. To walk in the light of God's countenance, that means is to walk with the smile of the God upon you. That's what we would say today. The light of the countenance is this beautiful sense of God's favor upon you. No frown, but a light, a smile. Nothing is more blessed to experience than God's favoring smile. I've been often jealous. As I saw her and as I listened to her, seen something of what the Heidegger Catechism so beautifully states, what is now your only comfort in life and death? That is not to belong to myself. That is to belong to a faithful Savior and an almighty Father and an abiding Holy Spirit. That is to be drawn by the Father to come to Jesus Christ. That makes a person blessed beyond description, friends. For not only will such be kept in this world, but they'll be taken out of this world to walk in the light of his countenance. Beyond the scene of sin and suffering. Without the burden of this wretched body that always cleaves to every saint of God until their last breath. And without ever again seeing the face of Satan, but always peering upon that blessed face of God in the face of Jesus Christ. They shall walk in the light of his countenance. God never promised any of his children a path of roses in this life. Grandma Dirksen hasn't had that either. Children, you must not think that God's children will not go without their trials in their life. Jesus has said, through many tribulations you shall enter the kingdom of heaven. She's had her share of them. But what has they done to her? Have you not seen what it did to her? God's tribulations are his means to conform his people more and more to the image of the Redeemer. Though painful, profitable. Grandma Dirksen, see, you experience what Thomas Brooks said. The best of both worlds. Here she has known the grace of God. Now she may relish in the glory of God. I'm jealous. Such a life. They shall walk in the light of his countenance. That walk begins here, dear friends, in a life of tender devotion and obedience. Grandma, she was one of these old timers, these rare jewels, who didn't marry the flesh and religion, but who lived for God, seeking to die to herself and to the world around her. Have you seen it? Grandchildren and great-grandchildren, Grandma didn't always get excited about you. She shed tears in my presence about you. I'm sure she shed many more in the privacy of her own prayer time. She was very interested in you. She could tell me all kinds of stories about you every time I came. This grandchild and that great-grandchild. I mean, she kept up to date. She's interested. But she was concerned. About what? About your soul. About where you chose to walk and what you chose to live for. That was a burden. More than you realize. It made her once say to me, "I wish I could go. It is so heavy." I said, "Jeanette, it's not time to say that. There's prayer needed then for you to be here." And God gave her that time. Children, I pray that testimony and the witness of this beautiful woman of grace and her life may not be easily be forgotten. There's a connection between a tender walk with God in life, in which we honor Him, and an easy death, an exit from life. There's a connection. God promised indeed to those that add to their faith brotherly love and kindness and meekness and all these wonderful graces that they shall be ministered abundantly an entrance into the everlasting presence of God. And we've seen that. I want you to notice that connection. This is a woman that lived close to God. A woman who got God close on her deathbed. And that I am jealous of. And I pray that God may use that in your life to draw us to that same God that she sought to follow. And let us then conclude with that last statement, "In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted," not on their own. All what God's children here have is rags in themselves. But they may have the ropes of Jesus' righteousness. And in that righteousness, that means obedience, they will be exalted. As the poet of one of the Psalters say, "But let the righteous, blessed of yore, joy in their God as never before, faith victory achieving. Their joy shall then unbounded be who see God's face eternally. Their heart's desire receiving." Amen. Let us pray. We seek thy blessing, gracious God, upon the words that we have meditated on together. That trumpet of the law and that trumpet of the gospel. Let it be heard in our heart. Thou knowest how to penetrate. And it is only through thy Spirit, O God, that words spoken to the ear will enter into the heart. And we beg thee, Almighty God, let this hour be that hour in which we may be blessed to be like this verse speaks about. Blessed are they, the people that know the joyful sound. O gracious Lord, abide thou with us in the words thou hast spoken. Also when we leave again, and when all these days of attention around the death of Grandma will fade away. Abide with us, Lord Jesus, and make our hearts to burn as well as to tremble, so that we be blessed beyond the words expressed. Uphold us all when we go to the graveside. Although there also bless, Lord, even the silent sermon of the many gravestones that will surround us. Uphold the family. We ask all this in the pardon of our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will now sing together with Psalter 31, another one of Grandma's choices or psalters she was having a special favor with. We're not singing all the verses here, so pay attention that we are going to sing verse 2, verse 3, and then the last two, 6 and 7. 2, 3, 6 and 7, Psalter 31, the prayer of the righteous, and after singing, just remain seated, and then the funeral directors will further take over.